Great week. We had a really wonderful week at the Battle Household. We lost a teenager, and we gained a 20-year-old. Sean turns 20 today, and he is in Kingdom Kids, and I believe he's in Kingdom Kids, right? He's turned 20, and his voice is a little deeper, and we had a great celebration last night at a restaurant that he loves, Olive Garden. And a lot of his friends and coworkers came out. And then this morning, we did our battle tradition. And that is to sing happy birthday to every person who has a birthday in our family and wake them up with that tune. And so we sing happy birthday real early in the morning, some mornings. Right, Trudy? Trudy has to be on the bus like at 6:30. So we'll get up at 5:30, 5:45 and sing happy birthday. We drag on in there, presents and all. And sing, happy birthday, you know, and then it gets a little livelier as we go, and they receive presents, and that's what we do. That's our tradition. But I hope everybody is doing great. I really want to welcome those of you who are here for the first time. Welcome to our family. We love God. We love celebrating him, worshiping him, and I pray that this morning will be a blessing to you. Wanted to start off by praying to God and asking him to really bless our time together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your grace, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness. We thank you for being the God that you are, so consistent, so faithful to us, so forgiving, so powerful, so all-knowing. And Lord, we come before you and we lift your name on high. We lift your name higher than our problems, higher than our struggles, higher than our personalities, higher than our characters, higher than our situations. Father, we want to worship you this morning, and we thank you so much for being able to come together and think about you, praise you, honor you, love you, adore you, and embrace you this morning. We love you so much. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are this morning continuing our series on pathways, and we've had a really, really good time thinking about, talking about pathways. On the 5th of this month, we celebrated and talked about pathways to the truth. And that was a unique start because we began Black History Month with that focus. And we had a friend, Davis Hout, come up, a professor from Florida State, and he talked about pathways to the truth and in the past and how the Bible was used to enslave, and that was very insightful. He gave us a historic look at the scriptures, and we were able to ask questions, and so we were so thankful that we had that experience together, pathways to the truth. Last week, JP talked about pathways to love and expressed how God truly loves us. This morning, we're going to talk about pathways to God, pathways to God. And then next week, we'll kind of do a bookend. We'll have Davis come back to us and talk about pathways to freedom, and we'll talk a little bit about the historic moments there that I think will really be encouraging. So please invite your friends to next week's service. We're going to have a good time this morning. And are you ready to hear a sermon? Are you ready? Are you ready to give one? You ready to preach? Harold, you ready to preach? You ready to go? Come on up. Oh, no, stay with that. Are you ready to preach? If we were to ask every one of you to come on up and give us a one-minute sermon, could you do it? Huh? Well, you're a Christian. You should be able to, right? I want you to not really preach a sermon this morning for a minute, but I do want you to share something for a moment. I want you to take a minute to share a testimony. Share with someone that doesn't know your story. Someone next to you, across from you, that doesn't know your story. Tell them how you came to know God in under a minute. Or how you are coming to know God right now. Or you can share, you know what? I don't really know God right now, but I want to get to know him. So, we all have about a minute. Now, I want you to take a minute. Don't take five, because I know how some of you are. I want to take my job, okay? Let's share for a minute, okay? And let's share with one another, and then we'll come back after a couple minutes.
minutes?
I don't want. Okay, all right. Did we get it all in? One more minute. All right, one more minute. Okay. Quiet now. You know, what I love about these times is that we all have a unique story. We all have unique pathways to which we have come to God or are coming to God or desire to come to God. And when we share our story, it not only highlights us, but it highlights God and the Father that He is. The way He allows us to come to Him, every individual pathway is unique. But we also have some things that are very similar. What's the reason why you reached out to God? What did you share? What was the reason? Who could share? What was the reason why you reached out to God? Yes, Teresa. Okay. We said, what failed you? Mankind had failed her. There was no one else to reach out to, nowhere else to go. Now, think about that, and that's a great point to be in where you are reaching out to God because there's nowhere else to go. But think about the humility of God. I mean, some of us have been like, oh, now you want to come to me, right? Oh, I'm the last person that you're going to reach out to. I mean, if we were God, we'd be like, no, take a time out. No, you're calling on me all this time. No, God is humble enough to say, even though you've chosen many other things, I'm patient enough to allow you to come to me. What else? What was the reason? Yeah, Dan. Dan and Heather, we'll have a couple.
I didn't like what's on the other side of the
table. Ah. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God worked through an engineer to get to engineer. A plus B equals C. I mean, God knew that what Dan needed a formula, right? He knew that. Yeah, Heather. Wow. Wow. Near death experience. Wow. Yes, Candace. And what you said, she was a kingdom kid. That means that she was a kid that grew up in our church and went astray. I appreciate you sharing that and being able to hit a point where you called out to God. Even though God was around you and you're part of the family, we gotta seek God for ourselves, right? Not just for our family, right? Great point. I'm sorry? That's right. And God is patient, right? Yeah, Kitty. Deliver 1.5-pound baby. Everybody can hear? Can you hear? Wow. That's right. Wow. Old Lawton. 2.5% chance of living, boy. He's living life to the full now, though, I tell you what. Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's right. I appreciate you sharing that. And that's why, you know, on Wednesday nights we have a class entitled Religion to Relationship. Because so many of us, we were religious growing up, we go to church, but we didn't feel, and there was something missing in our relationship with God. And so I really appreciate you sharing that, Cheryl. Anybody? Yes. Wow. Wow. Yeah. And he's persevering, isn't he? And he's patient. Yeah. What's that? Amen. Amen. We do too. Yeah, Janaea. Uh-oh. What? Wow. Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Wow. Learn something new every day, I tell you. You know, God is reaching out to us, and we reach out to God because of many, many different reasons. Sometimes an empty life, a frustrated life, an unfulfilled life, a life of unmet expectations. Sometimes someone's changed life. You look at somebody and go, wow, you've changed. What's the secret? Why? And they tell you. And you go, wow. And that's what happened to me. I saw someone's changed life. And I said, I'd never seen a life like that. And I had questions, and they gave me answers. Sometimes it's a wake-up call, a near illness, or illness that may lead to death, or chronic illness. We never know what pathways we travel. But God is there at the end of every path, saying, here I am. You know, my father, they gave him 3 months to live, and he beat lung cancer. The chemo worked. It was amazing. Many people praying for him. He said, God has given me a second chance. I need to give him my life. You know, God is patient. Did you know that God works harder than we do to find us? You don't work harder than God. I don't work harder than God. God is working every single day to get our attention, to get us to focus on him, to love him, to serve him. And he really does reach out to every single person in here. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, Paul is sharing at a meeting of the Areopagus and attempting to explain to them a God in which they are unfamiliar with. And in Acts 17, in verse 22, Paul stands up at this meeting said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." They were ignorant of this unfamiliar, unknown God. And he starts off by explaining in verse 24, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Paul is sharing with them, God is trying to woo you. He's trying to get a relationship with you. He determines the times and places set up so that perhaps you and I can reach out to him. And sometimes he allows blessings to happen so that we can reach out to him. Maybe he allows tragic situations or illness or life to exist so that we can reach out to him. He's not just saying, "Hey, I'm up here, come seek me." He's seeking us. He works to get our attention, and he works to keep it. He works to get our attention, and he works to keep our attention. Because let's be honest, some of us, well, all of us, we have spiritual ADD. We get distracted. We get overwhelmed. We get discouraged. We get frustrated. And God wants to continue to get our attention. In 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there, when the seer Hanani came to the king of Judah, Asa, and challenged him on why he was relying on this king, Aram, and not on his Lord, who gave him many, many victories prior. And he says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing," he says, "and from now on you will be at war." Isn't that like us, though? Being humanistic, self-sufficient, self-reliant, and not dependent on God. We have another being that ranges throughout the earth as well. And you know who that is? It's Satan. Remember in Job when he asked God, you know, he was kind of roaming, God asked him rather, "What have you been doing?" He said, "I've been roaming the earth." "Where'd you come from, roaming back and forth from the earth?" Then he asked him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And then you know the rest of the story. He roams throughout the earth. That's scary. What is his objective? Well, on one hand, we have God who's attempting daily to get our attention, and we have Satan who's trying to distract us from our Heavenly Father. It's a spiritual tug of war, isn't it? So every one of our stories are unique. They're special. And I love to hear it. And we need to share more of those stories of how we sought God and how God sought us. We have a few decisions to make once we come to God. Once we realize that he's God and he's magnified in our lives, we have a decision to believe that he is God, that he is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, that he's good and his promises never fail. We have to decide to confess Jesus as Lord. If God is who he said he is in the Bible, then he sent his son to die for us, and so we should confess that he is in fact Lord, not just Savior, but Lord as well. That we will allow him to lead every aspect of our lives. We'll give our trust to him. We have to decide to repent, to change our worldview, to change how we think, and to continue to make him Lord. And then we get baptized for the remission of our sins, receive God's Spirit. Did you know that with all of our unique pathways to God, we share in the same purpose? We have so many different pathways to get to God, and yet we share in this same purpose. Whether you are a new Christian, old Christian, come from money, been raised poor, married, single, college, teen, educated, not educated, we all share in the same purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? Do you know what that purpose is? Matthew 22, turn there with me. Matthew 22. When we have our pathway and we get to God, and we somehow can recognize that we need God and we get to him, there is a purpose that we all share in. And Jesus in Matthew 22 is confronted with the Pharisees who had a hard time moving from religion to relationship. And they questioned Jesus. And in verse 34, it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." In response to God's amazing love for us, we are called to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. You know, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? There's no greatest commandment that's given in the law. There's no greatest. All the commands are great because they come from God. All the 613 laws in the Old Testament are great. But in verse 37, this is why we exist. This is our purpose. This is why we're on this earth. And if you miss this, you miss God. You can get religion and miss this. You never want to miss this. Love God, to enjoy him, to find joy in God. You may have some serious situations this morning. Maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe just financially. You may be in a lot of trial this morning. But it's up to us to, within those trials, find a joy in God. Love God, find joy in God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Finding joy, giving God our whole heart, not a divided heart, not a sluggish heart, but our whole heart. Is this too much to ask us to magnify God above everything else? Is it too much to ask? You know, what makes it difficult to magnify God, to love him, to enjoy him with all of our heart? You know what's hard about that? You know what's the most difficult thing? Is the heart. Is the heart. God calls us to love him with all of our heart, and it's difficult to love with all of our heart. Why? Because of our hearts. I'm going to share with you a very frustrating scripture for me. A scripture that I just don't like too much. You ever have those scriptures that you just don't like too much? You read him, you go, oh, why was it there? Right? Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I don't understand it. I don't even want it. Why do you give me such a heart, God? Sometimes I complain. I go, why do you give me a heart that's going to deceive me? Why do you give me a heart that I can't trust? You ever feel that way? Why do you give me a heart that's schizophrenic at times? Why do you give me a heart that's up and down and all around, and I never know how the heart's going to wake up? Is it going to be a good morning? Is it going to be a bitter morning? Am I going to just wake up and not even want to go out this morning? Why is the heart so elusive, so deceitful, so full of all types of things? Why is it so difficult to understand? What's so difficult about the scripture? For me, it's accepting the fact that it says it's beyond cure. You know what's humbling is I can't fix it. I can't fix it. I want to fix everything except electronics and, you know, car stuff. When it comes to people, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to just mankind, I want mankind to be fixed. I want to be fixed. I want my marriage to be fixed. I want our parenting to be fixed. I want my relationships to be fixed. I want it all to work out. And the Bible tells me that my heart will never be fixed. That discourages me. Hey, Derek Clay. Hey, Lynn. How you doing? Man, I just saw you. Wow. A blast from the past. Now, Derek helped to fix my heart, all right. Thank you for being here. Good to see you. I'm frustrated. My heart deceives me. My heart, I can't trust. I can't fix it. That's why in Proverbs 4 and in wisdom literature, in verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from that heart that is deceitful, that I can't trust. Now, isn't that something? The very things that I do come from my what? Heart. Whether it's serving somebody, whether it's sacrificing for a friend, whether it's lust, whether it's lying, everything I do comes from this heart, this thing I can't trust, this thing I don't understand. You have one too, don't you? Above all else, guard your heart. What should be our number one priority in life? Guard that heart. If our purpose is to love God with all of our heart, we should, above all else, guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I want to talk about one thing that can help us guard our hearts. One thing that I don't believe we talk about enough in our church. And that's the whole thought of magnifying God. Is to continue to make him bigger than life. Bigger than our problems, bigger than our trials, bigger than our victories, to magnify God, to make something appear larger than it is. Someone told me it's not about your faith in God. It's about, you know, it's not about having a great faith in God. It's about having faith in a great God. That's the challenge. Is your God too small? Then I pray that you'll magnify him today, that you will lift him high. I don't know about you, but there's some days in my life where I need God to be magnified, that my life seems bigger than him. My trials seem bigger than him. My worries are bigger than him. My doubts are bigger than him. And God says, no, I'm bigger than all that. There's a song by a group called We Are Messengers entitled Magnify. Entitled Magnify, that I've fallen in love with. I play this song all the time because I need to magnify God. I need to work at that. We have so many things going on in life. Teenagers, college students, single adults, marrieds. That sometimes life gets bigger than God. And daily I need to magnify his name. Hear the lyrics. I've been trying to make sense. Do we have them up there? I've been trying to make sense of the sorrows that I feel. Holding on for life to the only thing that's real. I've only scratched the surface. I barely had a taste. Powerful lyrics. Very difficult to make some sense of things in life. Holding on to what is real, I often hold on to the trial more than I hold on to God. Holding on to the eternal is our real. And it's very hard. But just one glimpse draws my heart to change. And one sight of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything. Woo! This is where I'm like, oh, gosh, knock me over. I don't need to see everything. I want to see everything. I don't need to see everything. Just more of you. Just more of you. I don't need to see how this thing is going to work out in my life, or with my kids, with my marriage, with my family, with my church. I just need to see more of God. All we need at times is just a glimpse of God's love, just a glimpse of his goodness, his faithfulness, and his promises. It's true. I need to see more of God. Take it all. Take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. No other name should have a greater magnification than God. No other thing should have a greater magnification than God. No other relationship should have a greater magnification than our relationship with God. God must be number one. My sight is incomplete, and I made you look so small. I've been staring at my problems for way too long. Realign where my hope is set until you're all that's left. Ooh, that's powerful. Realign where my hope is set until you are all that's left. But just a glimpse draws my heart to change, and one side of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything, just more of you. Take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. God, be greater than the worries in my life. Be stronger than the weakness in my mind. Be louder and let your glory come alive. Be magnified and take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. Open up my eyes. Take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. As a 1200 church, we want to glorify God. We want to magnify his name. And really, we can't make him large enough. Because our ways are not his ways. His ways are greater than ours. But boy, we can sure try to magnify God's name. You know, we all magnified his name when we came to him. He was bigger than life when we came to him. That's all we had left was to look to something greater than us, and we found God. Boy, I would love to just box up that dependence and keep it for the rest of my life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, sometimes we have to remember who we were when we were called and how we desperately needed God. In verse 26, a familiar scripture, in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things in the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. When we were foolish, God came to our aid and rescued us. Our significance to God never was and never will be based on our accomplishments. If you have a doctorate degree, congratulations, but you're no more significant to God than anybody else. You may have a gold medal. Amen. Praise God. Use your athleticism. But you're no more significant than anybody else in this room. You've used the talents that God has given you, by the way, to accomplish this. Boy, if we could realize this, think about the world and how humble the world would be. There wouldn't be any division in class, pride, and prejudice. We would be all one in the way that God wants us to look at each other. God chose us Why? Why did he choose us? Why were you chosen in that predicament? In verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. I am simply up here by the grace of God, not by my character or my talent, but by the grace of God. I don't deserve to be up here. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve to have Jesus coming down the cross for me, so that no one may boast before him. God chose us. Why? So that no one could boast in his presence. The poor, the foolish state didn't change once I became an evangelist. Didn't change. That's who I am without God. This poor and foolish state didn't change once you received the promotion or you received that scholarship. If and when we boast in anything, let it be, verse 31, let it be in the Lord that we have our boast. You see, when we start boasting, we start forgetting God. When we start magnifying ourselves, he gets smaller. Paul said, may I never boast. Paul, this intellectual genius, this apostle of the apostles, trained under Gamaliel. This is Paul, this leader, this type A personality said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I began my journey with nothing in 1966. And when I die, I'm going to end with nothing in 2000 and whatever that is. Everything in between birth and death is a gift from God. All my stuff, my relationships, accomplishments, positions, all gifts from God. Paul says, for who makes you different from anyone else in 1 Corinthians 4? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you did not? In other words, you and I are no different from anyone else. We don't deserve special privileges, levels of respect from others because of our talents or our bank accounts. Remember, all of our accomplishments are from God. Remember, God can use anything and anyone to accomplish his will and make his name great. Do you realize that God used the sick? He used the lame. He used the bruised, the lost. He used the prostitute. He used a donkey and a priest to be included in his divine accomplishments. During Jesus' triumphal entry, Jesus said, if people keep silent, even the rocks will scream out the truth of my glory. God doesn't need us. It is a privilege. So you and I are not as essential as we sometimes think we are. We learned this when we went on a sabbatical. We went on a 2-month sabbatical, and guess what? The church was fine. The church did great. We even began the process of buying this building without us. Sometimes we think we're more than we are. Remember where you came from, and God, and how God brought you to the place. This place, to magnify his name. To magnify his name. While working at a big summer camp one year, a boy named Ace became a local legend with campers. Ace was like the Pied Piper for grade school kids. Everywhere he went, a train of peppy pre-adolescents followed. Each Sunday afternoon, a half dozen kids, crammed buses, would arrive, and every following Saturday, those same kids would leave, devoted Ace fans. One Saturday afternoon, Ace would climb onto each bus and say so long to his little groupies. And every time he boarded a bus, he would take the opportunity to plant seeds in those young lives. How many of you want to be like me when you grow up? Raise your hand, he would ask loudly. And no kidding, every hand would shoot up in the air. He would reply, "Then be like Christ. Then be like Christ," he would tell them. "Everything good you see in me is because of Jesus. Everything else isn't worth anything." Their solemn faces would hint that they intended to do just that. If Ace loved Jesus, then they would too. Ironically, Ace got some flack from that summer from some of the leaders at the camp because they thought he was being too cocky. But when asked, Ace would tell you that he chose to embrace the spotlight because he knew that those kids were going to idolize something. He saw his brief position of influence as a means to steer them in the right direction toward God. Ace understood his purpose during this time in the spotlight, not to make much of himself, but to make much of God. Not to make much of himself, but to make much of God. It's hard to remember that it's not about us when so many voices are saying that it is about us. It's about our accomplishments, our achievements. You know, the purpose of any influential position in life is to make God's name great. If you have an influential position, I pray that you will make God's name great. The position of influence can be a promotion. A position of influence could be sickness. The position of influence could be a trial in your life. Position of influence could be a difficult time in your marriage where you're having a hard time. That's a position of influence. Why? Because through that trial, we can make God's name great. We can come back to God again. Whenever there is an opportunity to let God be magnified, I pray that we'll make it happen. As Christians, we can make God's name great again. We can make God's name great again. Remember your pathway to God, how you got there, or how you're going there, if you want to get there. Remember who you were when you were called. Remember who you loved the most when you were called. Remember the purpose for which you were called. Whenever life gets busy and too full, and you can't really enjoy God like you want, it's a great time to get the magnifying glass out. Just kind of look and magnify God. Look into his word. Look into his people. Just look outside. Take time to look at the world and its creation. Take a better look at an awesome and wonderful and magnificent God. We're going to close this morning with a video with the We Are Messengers, and the video is entitled Magnify. And after the video, if you could promptly go get your children and bring them back so that God can still be magnified. Let's show the video.